You recording in yours?
Yeah.
Sweet.
All recorded.
I had to resist the urge to copy the woman and say recording in pro
Recording in progress.
Talk over podcast, and we're back in the building. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on?
So jumping straight into it, first and foremost, I have to give up a huge shout out to DJ Brent Ashton from Chester. I went up with CJ Beats at the weekend, and we both did a set there at the same night. And when I got there, this is not a complaint, yeah, because as a DJ, I can't complain about this kind of stuff. But as I got there, the kit was an A9, a Pioneer A9.
You know what? I still haven't seen one of them in the club at all.
This is the second time I've come across one, actually, and the second time I've had this problem. The Pioneer A9 is not compatible with anything less than Serato 3.0.
It came out like end of last year when stems after stems, isn't it?
Yeah,
So.
so bit of a problem for me. But again, it feels weird as a DJ, like we're constantly complaining about how battered the mixers are, how shit club equipment is, how like it's proper old. They're still using Formula Sound mixers, or do you know them old like Allen and Heath ones and all of that nonsense mixers that they used to
Allen
have
and
in the club.
Grief.
Allen and Greif. Allen, so to turn up and see a nice shiny brand new A9 mixer and 2 3000s next to it. I felt a bit weird complaining. I didn't complain to anyone, but the problem I had was my Serato, which is 2.62. Don't judge. Fuck off. didn't work with the mixer, but it was okay because Brent Ashton, who's the resident DJ there, had a controller. Sweet. So I just plugged my laptop into there, and guess what?
Didn't
It
work.
wasn't compatible with that either. Drivers. It was an FL FX.
FLX, I think it's the FLX 10 I saw.
Yeah, it was. That's exactly what it was. So, yeah, hit a bit of a brick wall. So I got my backup USBs, and I hate DJing on USBs, man. Like it's proper long. Like I all my cue points, everything is just on Serato. It's just my comfortable place, isn't it? So it was just long, and I was gonna have to do USB DJing for the hour or so set that I was doing. But then Brent was like, "Do you want to just use my laptop?" He was like, "Just load your songs into my laptop and use that." And like, I proper rated that, because there's not a lot of DJs that would be cool with that. I don't
A lot
think
of
he's ever
people.
seen me play. He doesn't know like how heavy-handed I am. He doesn't know like, and he had a brand new Mac, bro. So it's like, I'll be 100% honest. I don't know if I would do that for a stranger.
I wouldn't. I'd be funny, like a random DJ putting their files on my computer. So did you move all your music onto there?
No, so I put it on my USB, and obviously, like, I don't plan my sets, innit? First time playing in Chester as well. So I'm just like, I don't want to go down a route and then realize it's not working and then have to pivot and not have the songs ready to pivot to. So I knew because of the room, it was like a black music room. So it's hip hop, R&B, Afrobeats, dancehall. That's the brief for the room. So I knew like, okay, cool. I don't have to worry about the drum and bass, the house, the other stuff. Like that can stay on the computer. But even still, dancehall, Afrobeats, hip hop, R&B. That's still a lot of songs if you want to have like full freedom for an hour and a half. Do you know what I mean? Am I gonna go brand new and or down like the Playboi Carti route, or am I gonna end up playing like old school Drake? Or am I gonna even like end up flexing 90s hip hop or early 2000s hip hop? Like, what are they? Because I've never played there, I was trying to keep a completely open mind.
Open mind, yeah.
But it was that problem of like, what do I move across? So it actually took me 45 minutes to move all the songs across that I needed onto my USB.
Need to get a SSD, bro. You need to get
Well,
a
yeah.
Samsung T7 SSD because that 45 minutes could have been 2 minutes.
Yeah, but then, well,
Or
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's true.
has this taught you or not taught you? What have you learned from this?
Well, this week I have been researching new Macs.
Oh shit.
I've been looking to make the leap and actually jump on a new computer finally. And it was after what you and Joe said last week is like the benefits of having a new Mac outweigh the downside to not having the logo on show.
Yeah.
So it's maybe, like,
well, maybe you can use, like, I don't know, maybe you can still keep the old one. Maybe, what if you, like, wipe off everything and then maybe put, like, I don't know, make it as like a guest set laptop, like condense the music library, because obviously you've got like 85 million tracks in you.
Yeah, pretty much.
So maybe wipe it completely and then maybe put on, get the history from last year and keep them tracks on there, if that makes sense in it. Then that could be like a
yeah, that could be like, I think, an hour. Like, one of my things, one of my main things is, especially with the logo, it's like, when it's benefited me when I've been doing tours, and when I've been doing big shows. So like, for example, late last year, I did Radio 1's Big Weekend on the main stage. And what happened was, when the cameras were on me, they were also on the DJ Double logo, which was huge on the laptop, shining bright from the stage. Do you know what I mean? And then the festival tour in Australia last year, bang, as soon as the camera goes on me and I'm up on the big screen, so's the logo. Same with the Capital Ball as well. Like, I've actually looked back at a couple of the performances on YouTube. The Capital Jingle Bell Ball and the Summertime Ball, which are arena shows, Wembley Arena, 80 to 100,000 people. As soon as that camera's on me, bang, it's on that big shiny DJ Double logo as well.
Yeah.
That's where I'm just like, that's where it benefits me. So maybe I keep this one for tours, because it's been touch wood. It's been absolutely fine with the tours. And with the tours, I don't need stems. I don't need that. I could, if I wanted to, I don't want to, but I could do the tours just off of a USB.
Yeah, exactly. So make that your tour. When you know you're going to be on a big stage, just take that one out. But if you're doing your residencies, then obviously take your new one. But it's up to you.
It also brings the problem with, as time goes on and as the A9 becomes the default mixer everywhere. Imagine if I turn up, I mean, slightly different with the tours, because I send a tech rider and they have to adhere to it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no show. With the clubs, it's different. The clubs, it's like, I send a tech rider and then we all just hope and pray. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going all the way to Chester to go, oh, I'm not DJing because the mixer's not the one I said. Like, I'm not that guy. But with festivals, that really is the case. Like, if it's the wrong mixer, it's not compatible, there's no show. So there's always, like, there's always that side of it. But yeah, I think maybe I keep this for tours and big shows, but...
Well, maybe you can get a instead of getting the light, you can get like a sticker and just make... Cause obviously,
yeah, see, that's the thing. There is options as well. There is a way of having the sticker on it, or having even like a thing that has like a glow in the dark, like the phosphorus logo as well, so that you can charge it in the light during the day, and as soon as it's nighttime, it glows light and stuff. Or there's even like clip-on ones that plug into the USB and light up. There's quite a few different options, but I'm just like, you know, it's not what I already have. But yeah, I think it is time to bite the bullet and
it is time, bro.
New Mac route. I didn't realize Apple have an official refurbished website.
Yeah, I know.
So people like ex-display Macs, and people buy a Mac and then bring it back within 2 weeks because they don't like it, because it's been opened and started. They then put it, and bro, you can get Macs for like 500 quid off. There's a bunch of M1s and M2s in there, like 500 quid cheaper than brand new, but they are effectively brand new.
Yeah, you don't even need to get the, because obviously the latest one's what, M3. You don't even need to get that, because Stems works perfectly on M1. Stems works perfectly on my Intel i7. 2017 MacBook, so you don't need to get the latest Mac. you could easily get an M1 and save a grand.
I think so. The only thing is, I know how Apple maneuver, and what I don't want to do is buy an M1 and in 2 years have to upgrade it because the M1's not keeping up with the software, or the software's not keeping up with the latest. Do you know what I mean? It's just Apple have this built-in obsolescence that they do. To force us to upgrade. We know they do it. They've admitted they do it, and everyone just cracks on anyway. So it's a tricky one, because it's like, yeah, I don't want to buy an M1, and in just 2 years, the M1's obsolete and doesn't work. So yeah, it's tricky. But anyway, right. Big ups to Brent Ashton, DJ Brent Ashton, who actually fully saved the day. I used my USB. I didn't move the files to his computer, actually. I just plugged the USB in, and played them off of that. I've got two very good high speed USBs in it. So I knew it would be fine playing off of them. And yeah, he let me use his laptop and his controller. And I really enjoyed the set as well. Like, it was actually, I like playing new places. And I was able to do all of my tricks and stuff. And yeah, it was calm.
Yeah, no, good. Well, so, hopefully you don't have to deal with that again, man, because that must have been stress. That must have been stress when you got there.
Bro, I was in the worst mood just before I started my set. I was in a horrible mood because of that. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to have to use USBs. I was pissed off that it was an A9. And yeah, I was kind of, I think I was pissed off with myself, to be honest. I don't even think I was pissed off with the venue. I mean, I genuinely think I was pissed off with myself because I'm just like, look, this was always going to happen at some point.
You probably just needed this in it to give you that boost to kind of get the new Mac.
Yeah, now I've got to spend whatever it is on a new Mac. But right. I think it's got to happen. It's got to happen. So, also, news this week in the DJ world, it's bad news, unfortunately.
Dun, dun, dun.
At this point, I mean, luckily, I'm probably not the messenger, because at this point, I think everyone actually does know about it. But Recom have closed down. How many is it? I think it's like 16 venues.
I think I heard that Brighton and it went in it. Birmingham.
There is a whole list. Hold on. Let me find the list, because I actually sent it to Tino the other day. Dartford, Romford, Windsor, Wrexham, King's Lynn, Coventry, Swansea, Oldham, Leeds, Nottingham, Plymouth, Portsmouth, Watford, Cardiff, Exeter, and Basildon.
And what's did you say Windsor? You say Windsor on the list?
Windsor is on the list. Yeah, it's gone.
Flipping hell, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what's crazy? I've actually played at most of these places as well. What's crazy is looking at the geography of these, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's not, this isn't even like, oh, the south of England isn't performing. This isn't even like the west isn't, do you know what I mean? This is at Dartford, Romford, similar area. Windsor, other side of London. I don't know where Wrexham or Kingsland are. Coventry is right up north. Swansea is in Wales. Do you know what I mean? Leeds is up north. Nottingham's up north. Plymouth and Portsmouth, they're down south. They're southwest. Yeah. Watford, London, Cardiff, Wales, Exeter, southwest to get like Basildon, Essex. So it's literally everywhere, bro. Like, this is a nationwide problem.
We called it, mate.
To be fair, we've been saying this for many episodes now on the pod.
And like the people, the DJs that didn't make the, I don't know, there's a lot of DJs that didn't make the transition out of residencies. They're going to be hurting now. I think some of us kind of saw it. We started doing, going down other avenues and shit. Now the resident DJs that are comfortable and stuff, they're the ones that's going to be like, oh.
Yeah, and I mean, I would never say, I don't think it's too late. I don't think it's ever too late to start maneuvering and pivoting. Excuse me. But I think it's definitely one of those things where if the ball is not rolling on your own project by now, This is the point where you're like, oh shit, I should have started that already. Do you know what I mean? Like, I should have been on it. But it's cool, just get on it. But yeah, so that's a big list of venues, man. We did call it though. We did say like, this was gonna happen.
But is it just, so obviously I've seen Windsor shut down many a time. Is it just gonna reopen with another brand?
I don't think so. Knowing what I know about the company, they're in deep shit.
Swear.
Okay. They've been hemorrhaging money. So I don't think so. Also, places like Watford was on a lease. They don't own a lot of these buildings. They just lease them. Knowing also what's happening in England at the moment, property developers are just running around turning everything into luxury apartments.
Flats and shit, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's probably a matter of time until Prism Watford is actually just a block of flats.
That's sad, isn't it?
There's more money there. There's more money in flipping a block of flats around than there is in running and operating a club. I'm talking if you owned a huge building, let's just say you owned the building that housed Prism Watford.
Yeah.
And then a developer turns around and says to you, we can actually turn this into 50 flats. and because of its proximity to London, like property in Watford is expensive, bro. Like for like a 2-bedroom flat, you're looking at like minimum 300 grand.
Yeah, this is
like,
what I mean. Like
minimum, and now you can put 50 of them in there.
Yeah, give me the money in it.
Yeah, this is. And, as opposed to what the club's paying you on its lease, and then maybe they're behind on the lease because of their profits and that. Like, I don't know. I don't know the business side of it, but yeah, there is a lot more money in property than there is in leasing out your building to a nightclub at the moment.
Well, it looks like the DJ community needs to pull their fingers out now, because more and more clubs are shutting down. Either DJ needs to start their own events, or start going into different avenues, because it seems like the clubbing and the residency world is dying quick.
It's so weird because it's like we've said so many times, the niche nights and the specialist nights are doing okay.
Yeah.
Certain one-off events are doing absolutely fine and they're actually thriving. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, we've mentioned it so many times, it comes down to the experience.
Yeah.
And again, we constantly use these as two examples, but like looking at what Chucky's done with his Slow Jams event.
Yeah.
That's not just a club night where you've got to pay 20 quid to get in and then fight your way to the bar and then get abused verbally by a bouncer and all of it. Like what Chucky's done with the R&B thing, shouts to Taser as well. Mm. Like they built an experience. They've turned it into a live show. Yeah, it's DJs performing, it's DJ sets, but it is an experience. You go there for an event, not just a night out. Same with Styler. You go to Compound, bro, you're getting a different type of music, but if you like black music, it's your thing, even though you're going to hear stuff you've never heard before, but it's going to work with what you like and want to hear, and the vibes are just good. It's just good vibes. Bro, like, touch wood, and I don't want to jinx it, but like in the compounds that I've been to, I've never, ever seen any trouble whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, because everyone's going for a good time, and it's an older crowd, isn't it? Like from what I've seen from Compound, older crowd. From what I've seen, well, I've been to R&B and Slow Jams.
No. You know what? No, it's not. But it's not older crowd like late 30s, early 40s. All the mums that are finally getting to come out because they got a babysitter for the weekend. It's not even that type of older crowd. It's just not like a 17, 18, 19 year old crowd.
Yeah, but that's
there's people in there in their early 20s, and there's people up to like mid 30s and possibly beyond. I don't know, but it's a big age range in terms of clubs at Compound. Like it caters to people that love that music. It's giving an experience.
Yeah, everyone just comes out to have a good time in it, and like they come out for the music that they love, and also like it's just because they come out and they enjoy themselves, because it's not every flipping week, in it.
Yeah.
They come out like Compounds, like I don't know how often Compounds, they say if it's once a month or once every other month, they come out, and because they haven't been out in a while, they come out to enjoy themselves, innit?
Yeah.
If you're going out every single week, you're gonna start getting bored, and then you're gonna start thinking, some guys will be like, oh, you know what? I'm bored now, let me just start some trouble, innit?
Because they're
bored of the same thing, the same music, the same DJs, the same boring experience. They just get bored, have a bit too much to drink, and then they bump into someone, that's it. Because they're bored.
You know, actually, like breaking down that side of things a little bit on the psychology side, you know, I think like also guys with that mindset, I think they get a bit territorial. So if it's a weekly night and they're there every week and they know the bouncer on the way in, or they know all the bouncers, they know the manager, they buy a bottle every week for £70 or whatever the bottles cost. And so they think they're the ballers. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then that's their spot. They feel like that's their club. So then, like, egos play a part in it. So now they're like, this is my place. I'm here every week. This is my... So I think, like, the territorial thing comes in, and that's also why it can get a bit scrappy. But, yeah.
When someone they don't recognise comes in it, they're just like, oh, who's this?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, yeah, egos and territorial mindset. But with one-off events, like, you don't have that. If it's in a different venue every time, like, it's not your place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe that's... Yeah, it might be worth studying, you know. I quite like psychology. Just sorry, a bit of a side note. I'm a bit of a psychology geek for that sort of stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I think DJs now, like if you're doing your own thing, start looking towards tailoring an experience, not just turning up and DJing. Like, what can you do to make this different? What can you do to make this memorable?
Yeah, I think just people just need to start first in this. Start and then they'll figure out. Start, get the crowd, and then just make it better and better. The more money you make, invest it back in, make the
That's
experience
it.
better. That's
That's
all it
it.
is, isn't it? But people don't want to start and take the risk of not having anyone in the club. That's the massive hurdle they need to jump past. And then once they get that, then they're good.
Yeah,
But
but again, it's like we've said, it's because you might be used to, if you're playing one of the big clubs, you're used to playing to like 1,000 people every week.
yeah.
So now if you're going to a small venue, even if you just try and put 80 people in there, that feels like a shit party because it's like, oh, it's only 80 people. Like, focus on vibes. If all those 80 people have an amazing time, they're coming back.
Yeah, then they might people might live, and then that's it. You
Yeah.
got a big night compound.
There you go. Yeah. Stylus. I remember Stylus's earliest venues, man. Like, they were tiny.
Yeah.
And now he's building it. He's got like 3,000 people or something waiting for tickets. So it's a crazy number, bro. Like, he could do mad venues now.
It's
So
crazy.
insane, insane. So anyway,
Crazy.
that thing that happened to me in Chester, actually, just going back to that quickly, with the me not having a compatible laptop and all of that, it made me think about, like, I'm so lucky that I had USBs on me. And then it sort of put me on a bit of a train of thought. It's like, what other things am I lucky that I have on me? And what other things have I got on me that have actually, like, either saved the day or enabled me to actually DJ that night? And I thought, you know what? I want to talk about this week on the pod. It's like essential things that we need to take as a DJ.
Yeah, massive
And
list
it's
of shit that you need to have in your bag to make sure that you're
basically,
s
but it's
safe.
interesting. It's interesting because there's so many different types of DJing now that there's gonna be stuff missed out that someone's gonna like hit us up and be like, no, I can't believe you didn't say this or that or that. Like, for example, a controller is not on my list because I don't use a controller to DJ. But then someone else that takes their controller to every gig,
Yeah,
that will
controller's
be the
essential.
first or second thing they put on their list. So it's actually quite an interesting conversation, I think, about essential DJ kit. What is it? So I put out on the Instagram as well. Let me find the word in. I put out, name one thing you absolutely must have as a DJ. Just name one. And it's quite interesting because I didn't specify like a physical thing. So some of the answers, like DJ Shan, he put patience.
Facts, yeah.
But I was
I
like,
mean,
actually, you know what? Like, yeah, patience.
but you know when he says patience, like patience with what though in it? Or is it patience with your DJ career that it's not gonna be that amazing at the start?
Oh,
Patience with customers,
that's a
you know what I
great
mean?
question. I imagine he's probably thinking there and then, patience, like some drunk person's come up to you and they're just waffling. Can you play this song? But I don't know what it's called. Here's how it goes. Me, 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 me. And they say, like, you gotta be
Yeah.
patient with those people, innit?
Is
But
that patience or just holding your tongue?
I think they're one and the same in that
You know what I
instance.
mean?
But you're right, like, patience as in, cool, I've never DJed before. I bought a controller today. Now I'm on TikTok Live, but only one person's listening. Why have I not got a million likes?
Oh man,
Like, you
yeah.
gotta have patience. You have to not. I don't. You can't be a DJ and have that instant gratification attitude.
Yeah.
Like,
You'll get humbled quickly, man. The
you
amount of
should.
DJs during lockdown, I know a lot of DJs got humbled when they thought they were the biggest DJs, jumped on Instagram Live, and one person was in their live. Doesn't
Oh,
matter if you've
bro.
got 3,000, 3,000, 5,000, 20,000, there was one. There's always that big DJ that thought they were gonna have loads, and then they just had one sitting in there playing on their own. Pause.
Oh yeah, that would be the worst thing. When I was streaming live, when I finally got to actually streaming live during lockdown, I had zero expectations. And my attitude, I wasn't streaming for the people.
Yeah, stream for
I
yourself,
was
innit?
streaming for my own mental health
Yeah.
and escapism as well. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it was properly like, let me get in here. I'd alcohol with me, the music I wanted. I was in my studio, the camera was on. I was just vibing, and I can't
Yeah.
remember if I've ever said it on the pod. I did a dance hall party one night, And I think I started at like 7 p.m. and I was going to come off at midnight.
Yeah.
Bro, I was going till 5 in the morning.
That's what I mean. You're just enjoying yourself, innit?
All dancehall music as well. But the stream, that was my most watched stream. And it was popping. And I think at one point, it's not big, big numbers, but at one point I had like 100 people on the stream.
No, that's good.
And it like, I wasn't like fully pushing it out. It was just literally, this night I'm going to do this. I'm getting on. Matt, like, the Ray and Nephew company sent me a box full of Magnum, so I'm just going to drink and play dancehall music and see what happens. And then actually, yeah, that was one of my favorite nights in lockdown, my dancehall party. And yeah, it was so, so much fun. Watching the videos back was funny. You can see me get progressively smashed as the set goes on and on and on.
Mate, so watching some streams back and listening to some is cringe for me. I was drinking. It's like I drank every single week aggressively on a Friday. Because I've done streams on a Friday.
Yeah,
I wake up Saturday, like just out of my face. I look at my history. I'm just like, I didn't remember playing any of that.
Amazing. Like, they're the best sets to do, you know. They're the most fun. Man. Brad Harrington said ears.
Says, do you need
one,
it?
One thing, but I mean, you know what? I'm going to pull him up on this because I said, name one thing you absolutely must have as a DJ. He said ears. He's failing this test because for starters, there's two ears. And even you don't even need ears. Imagine you just don't have ears on your head. You can still DJ. Imagine it like, even if you don't have eardrums. You could still DJ.
That'd be fair. Like, there must be. If you can't hear.
Yeah.
I saw someone that's a deaf DJ, or was it a blind DJ?
Oh, there is a blind DJ. There's probably a few blind DJs, to be fair. But yeah, there's I wonder if there is. There's a film about a deaf DJ. It's All Gone Pete Tong. And apparently it's a true story. But I don't know. It's not about Pete Tong. I don't know what DJ is about. DJ Iron Cobra says spare cables / connectors.
Oh, do you know what? I used to be a massive, I used to carry so many spare cables. It was a joke. HID mode people. Obviously, you have three to go into your laptop. I think I had two sets of backups. So I had 9 cables in total.
Two sets of backups.
Yeah. Because I've been there once where I've been DJing and one of them have failed and it'll just cut out my whole set. So I always make sure that I have backups of the cables.
Backups.
Yeah. Backups of the backup just in case, because it was long. Because I remember once I was DJing, it was like I was doing an under 18s night and obviously them lot are just rowdy as it is. The music cut off. I was getting booed, and it was just because this cable kept disconnecting, and I couldn't figure out what so I kept plugging it back in, and it kept failing. I changed the cable, and then it was working. So from that day, I made sure that I had multiple cables.
Right,
and then So then that's that. Then I'd have like
9 is excessive though. But carry on, I won't judge.
Yeah, trust me, I used to be such a paranoid DJ, innit.
Yeah.
Always make, because obviously when you first start and you start playing in front of loads of people, the last thing you want is anything to go wrong in it. So you make sure that you have
100%
extra shit. I've got spare laptop charger in my bag. I used to have like loads of RCAs. I think I had like 5 or 6 pairs of RCAs in my bag, just in case. Because
the RCAs even get used anymore?
Well, nah, since like, so I used to have them because, you know, obviously the rain box in it and connecting the rain box used to be so long.
When you think about that, now we can just plug straight into the mixer. But think about the times when you had to plug the rain box in, then plug the RCAs into the back of the mixer, then plug the CDJs into the rain box.
It was long. It was so long. So I had extras.
I can't believe we used to do that.
Yeah, extras for that. What else was there? I had a spare extension cable because there'd be times where there wouldn't be enough plug sockets. Because obviously, if you got a controller, you got to plug that in, and your laptop. What else did I have to plug in?
The controllers plug into the wall, don't they? They don't plug in. They're not USB powered, are they? Because they're
some are like the really shitty ones are. Yeah. But once you go to like a SRT or anything that's quite powerful, you need a separate
So a club standard controller is not going to be USB powered. I've never actually thought about that before.
Yeah,
And sorry, just quickly jumping back to plugging in the box, I did just criticize it. However, if I had a Serato box with me on Saturday, that would have solved my problems. But believe
you know what? I sold my Rain so long ago. I don't know how anyone still deals with that, man. They're so long.
Yeah,
they're so bad. Like, don't get me wrong, they got the job done. Oh, they're just awful, man.
Yeah, it would have saved me though. If I'd had it the other day, it would have definitely saved. I could have done everything off my machine. But it's another thing to carry about, isn't it?
Cables. I'm trying to think of other cables I used to have. I used to have so many. Like spare headphones. That's another cable, I guess, isn't it?
Like, yeah. When I tour, I take spare headphones. Mm. When I DJ, I just only take one set. Like when I'm DJing clubs, like my own stuff, I only take one set.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I have a spare MacBook charger because you know occasionally these ones just love to just give up and gone forever.
Yeah.
And if that happens, my Mac's so old that the battery will last probably about 50 minutes using Serato, if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. So I have a spare Mac charger, but I don't take it with me. It just stays in the drawer at my house.
Just put it in your bag, man, just in case, isn't it?
You know what? I think the it's a tricky one because it's like I could just get lost in packing spare everything, but then my bag will be twice the size. Yeah. And it's quite important to me not having a parachute on my back. Shouts to DJ Tino. he's going to laugh because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. He has the biggest DJ bag I have ever seen. Pause.
Does he does he take his mixer or his controller in it, or is it just...
Oh, I think he does actually. I think it does. It might have a mixer inside, which is why it might be one of them huge ones.
Yeah, I've got a bag for my S9 because I used to take my S9 everywhere.
Yeah, I have a separate like carry case. So it's like a hard one, but it's not metal. If that makes sense. Like a hard material one that takes the mixer in, but I don't really take the mixer anywhere. I have to this Saturday, funnily enough, but yeah, I don't really take it anywhere.
I used to take my mixer literally everywhere with me without fail, but now it's kind of just like I just can't be bothered.
I used to take spare RCAs and stuff with me, but nowadays I just don't. CDJs more often than not are plugged in, and to be honest, I've actually started I started a little while ago just holding the club accountable if there's not enough wires and stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you tell a club, I can't play if there's no wire there. If that's not plugged in, I can't play. They find a wire pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right. I actually turned up at a club about 3 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah, I did a club about 3 weeks ago. They had like a proper old school Pioneer 700 or 750 mixer or something like that. Super old. Not one that didn't even have the USB input. And I said to them, I was like, is this the only mixer you have? They were like, yeah. I was like, well, I sent over the spec that I needed. And bear in mind, my tech spec is not groundbreaking. It's a Nexus 2 and two 2000 CDJs. That's it. I just send them that and say, this is what I need. Like, and yeah, when I got there, it was like a 700 or 700, whatever the mixer was before you could plug Serato in. That was the mixer they had.
It'll probably be 800. I don't even think the 800, did the 800 have, I don't think 800 even has a USB.
But anyway, 900 I said to the guy, I was like, is this the only mixer you have? He was like, yeah. I was like, well, I can't even use this. I can't use this at all because it doesn't plug in. There's nowhere to even plug the computer in. Oh, well, we've got no other mixers. I was like, well, I can't play. There will be no music I can't play. Bro, within 20 minutes, they had an Nexus 2 right in front of me. Boom, set up. Cool. Good to go. Like, job done. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you do have to stick it on the venues and be like, there's a cable missing. I can't play without the cable. If you absolutely refuse to play because the cable's missing and you can't play, they'll find the cable pretty quick.
That's not even
about being a bougie guy or anything like that, Jari. That's just like holding them accountable for the tools. Why is there no fucking cable?
Another cable that DJs need spare is an Ethernet cable, but that's for USB DJs. Because
Oh, that's a good shout.
I've experienced once when not having the link, yeah, and having to DJ off two separate USBs instead of just one linked. Hell,
yeah.
Absolute hell.
Okay, so yeah, I would say as a non-USB DJ, but I keep a USB as a backup. I have a backup USB for my backup USB, and the two are identical for that exact same reason. So whenever I sort out my backup USB, with whether it be for the tour shows, whether it be updating the club sets and stuff like that, like, which I don't do often enough, to be fair. If I get caught out on a USB nowadays, because it's Saturday, it's fine, but pre-Saturday, it would be a bit of an old school set. Like, no songs within a year have been updated. But anyway, my two USBs are identical file-wise. So that if the CDJs don't have a cable between the two, you can navigate either side really quickly.
Have you DJed like that before?
I have had to, but on a tour show.
Yeah, so you had minimal tracks. I tried doing it on a longer set. It's long. Because you also don't know what song, like, now, see me, this might just be me, but I have terrible memory in it. So if I'm on one USB and I've played one track and I've gone to the other, you can't tell what's been played. And that's just I have shit memory.
Oh, so on the CDJs, does it mark off when something's been played, that set?
Yeah, so like it'll be like Serato, isn't it? So I think it highlights it green or gray. Obviously, someone correct me, but it highlights it green or gray. But if you don't have it linked, the track won't be marked on the other one.
Right, okay. So I don't have that problem. I don't have a great memory, but I can tell you if I've played a song that night or not. I can remember whether I played a song that night or not. But in terms of navigation, if the two USBs are identical, that shouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, I guess. But I think it's more for me just knowing what songs have been played
or what hasn't.
Yeah, and there are other features. I can't remember from the top of my head, but I remember when I'd done it, I just remembered it being so long. not having link, but yeah, the USB DJs know about link, and they know to have a spare cable just in case, because some venues don't have the link cable in, because obviously so many DJs come in with laptops now.
I think the link, it's a very, very basic necessity, isn't it? Like, it's if you've got CDJs, just have them linked. Excuse me, yawning, it was a late night. Yeah, so DJ MG said backup USBs.
Yeah.
So obviously we just covered that. And like, yeah, I have a backup USB and I have a backup USB for my USB. And very often as well, if it's a tour show, I will make sure that the sound engineer also has a backup USB. Now, I'll take their USBs and give them all of my music files, because they will have the running order of the tracks. And that's so that if the mixer ever failed, they can trigger the music. So that the song still carries on. Because on two separate occasions, funnily enough, two separate tours, exactly the same venue, the mixer packed up for different reasons. One when I was on Potter's tour and one when I was on RD's tour.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have thought of that. But I guess as a tour DJ, you probably think
you have to be prepared for every eventuality. So my thing was, right, I've got my computer that's got all the files on it. I've got the left USB, which is in, I always have, when I'm touring, I have three CDJs.
It's
so that the left-hand side, or if I put it on the right-hand side sometimes, I will have it on my backup USB, and it has the song that we're currently performing. So every time I change to the next song, I'll change the backup one on as well, so that it's ready. And then worst case scenario is, if my computer packs up, or if the CDJs that I'm on go wrong, or whatever, if I need to use the backup USB, we just have to do that song again. Or start again. Do you know what I mean? But it's always in line with the thing. But yeah, when I was doing the tour, I just thought, if everything goes wrong here, how can the show continue? And the answer is to give the sound engineer the music.
Yeah.
So the worst case scenario, he plays it, the music continues. So yeah, backup USBs. DJ Tino said skill. I mean, I love to think In an ideal world, that would be a necessity, but these days it actually really isn't. You don't need skill to be a DJ these days. Which, like, I don't know if I'm mad about it. Actually, to be honest, we say these days. I think that's always been the case. You don't need skill. Back in the day, before DJs were using two decks, you didn't need skill. Mm. You just needed music knowledge.
Yeah, song selection, isn't it?
So instead of skill, yeah, just some form, even these days, some form of music knowledge, even if it counts down to what's popping on TikTok right now, which is what's setting the trends at the moment. Mm. That in itself is music knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, as experienced and like, you know, it sounds arrogant, but I'm going to say it. As a top tier DJ, because I consider myself top tier.
Yeah, like, good.
We have backdated knowledge.
Yeah.
The genres that we play. Like, we know everything that we need to know and beyond. But, and that's a bonus. But my knowledge of music doesn't serve me every set. Some sets, I literally just need to know what's popping now.
Yeah, no, the younger crowds in it, you only really need to know what's popping on TikTok, you know. You don't need to know go back to 1990.
Sometimes it works. I don't know necessarily about 90s. There's some 90s tunes. Actually, no, there is a lot of 90s tunes that still work. But yeah, definitely, like, don't need skill. It would be nice. It would be nice if you needed skill. Prit Nasha says, unfortunately, my vape.
Vape, oh God.
Grow up, man. Vape. Actually, it's funny, yeah, like, in my very early days of DJing, you could still smoke in the club.
Do you know what, yeah? That sounds wild, innit? When you think back to it, that you could smoke in a club and smoke indoors, yeah? That must have been a horrible atmosphere.
Bro, no, I don't know. You know what? I don't think it affected the atmosphere. I think it's mad that non-smokers would go to a club back then. But like, I used to smoke, innit? So like, but I'm a country boy, bro. I used to smoke roll-ups. So I didn't smoke cigarettes. I didn't like them. I smoked roll-ups. But yeah, I remember, like, before my set, I'd roll up like 5-6 cigarettes. And then there's videos of me, actually. I had it like on my hard drive somewhere, of like, from someone filmed it on a potato, obviously, but like, yeah, like a proper old school phone. But like, yeah, there's videos of me DJing and I have a cigarette in my mouth.
That's wild. That's, yeah, I don't know, man. The whole like, smoking an indoor thing, yeah, just when you look back at it, it's just weird.
The thing I didn't like is getting back and my clothes stinking. Literally, like, stunk, bro. Disgusting. Yeah. Waking up the next day and my laundry basket's got last night's clothes in.
Yeah,
stale smoke and, like, yeah, disgusting, bro. Disgusting.
Even from a night out now, innit? When you go out in the smoking area, even that little bit of smell that you get from that maybe stinks.
Yeah, I don't like the smell of it at all. And I haven't smoked for years, bro. Like, years and years. No, I haven't smoked for ages. But I don't know. The vape thing. I think vaping's weird, personally.
Vaping, it's you know what it is? It's just a trend and everyone was just following each other in it. Like, I don't know. Like, a lot of the youngers, they kind of just do it just because it looks cool, I guess.
Nah, but the shit is addictive as fuck, bro. Like,
it's got nicotine in it. Yeah.
The difference is, but you see, like, see back in the day when people used to smoke, like, you'd light a cigarette. The cigarette would have a start and an end.
Yeah.
Take maybe like 10 minutes to smoke, 5 minutes. I can't remember how long it takes to smoke a cigarette. But like, let's just say 5 minutes to smoke a cigarette. And then the cigarette ends. And then it's finished. And then you consciously have to start another one if you want to smoke straight away again.
Yeah.
And you only get 20 in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, you're not smoking all 20 back to back to back to back to back.
I mean,
but see, with vapes, vapes are like endless, bruv.
Yeah, you just can refill them in. Or they have
like 5,000 breaths in them, or whatever you call it. Like, so people just sit there like all day, and it's not like you might put it down and then a minute later it's in your hand again. It's like the equivalent of smoking 40 cigarettes in a 2-hour period or something wild like that. Like, it's mad. So yeah, I don't think they're just like strawberry cheesecake flavored crack pipes, bro. That's what they are.
Mm, tasty. Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's weird to me. I do find it weird. But yeah, no, don't take your vape, man. That's not essential. Some clown put condoms. Who was that that put condoms, CB?
I have no idea, but I guess that could be a necessity for some DJs out there.
Lead the way, bro. Lead the way. I'll let you discuss this one.
All right, say for me. Hey, for me. I'm just saying. us DJs get, we always get, what's the word? Everyone on Twitter, anyway. Profiled. We say it's, people, yeah, we get profiled as the biggest hoes. But so for them DJs that get profiled, you do need condoms.
It's a funny stereotype, isn't it? Yeah, there's two things I reckon that people instantly, two assumptions that people make when it comes to DJing is that the first one is, yeah, like we just get different girls all the time, rah, 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 and all this. And the second one is that we're bang on drugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro, do you know how many times people have either asked me for drugs as the DJ or when I've had conversations, like, because I don't do drugs, innit? And I've I've never done drugs, ever, not even tried it. And then when I have this conversation, do you know how many people are surprised? Like, what? But you DJ. And it's like,
it's because they think you need
funny
it.
Funny enough, it's not like, it's weird. It's a weird assumption.
It's because they think you need it to stay up all night and DJ and have all that energy in it, because...
I guess so, but I think it also is the assumption that, like, I mean, not so much in, like, the black music trends, but I think some people, like, if they're going out to an event, and you're right, to stay up and party all night or whatever, they're doing pills or MDMA or whatever else, and then... Because they're doing it on a night out, I think they're assuming, as the DJ, we are as well.
Yeah. I don't know what any DJ can DJ, like, drugged up. Like, let alone...
I don't know. I think...
Being drunk is what me. Being drugged up? Nah.
I don't know what it feels like, innit? So I don't know. In terms of being drunk, yeah, I've DJed drunk enough times. And some of the drunk sets I've done have been the best sets in the world. So maybe if I fucking pop a couple pills and do a set, it might be my favorite set I've ever done. Who knows?
But, or you might have a heart attack on stage.
Oh, yeah. Or that's it. I was like pranging out and doing some wild shit. But yeah, no, it's mad. It is a bit mad to me.
Yeah, like the whole like, people think that DJs just get girls every single week in, week out. That is the biggest lie ever. Most of us, yeah, don't even like talking to people.
Bro, that is so true. That I love.
Like
that.
Most,
I love that you just said that. Yeah,
like,
I love that.
Most DJs are introverts, innit? So the thought of a girl coming up to them, talking to them, they're like, oh.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
But for me, it's like, I don't mind. I'll entertain a conversation. It's cool. But not while I'm DJing.
Yeah.
Like, bro, DJing, I had this conversation this week. Someone asked me, like, if I could do any job, what would my dream job be? And literally, DJing was the answer. Yes, like, if I'm going to a club to DJ, yeah, that's what I'm there for. If I am DJing, this is literally the best fun that I could possibly have in this moment right now. So no, you're a stranger. I don't want to talk to you. Even if I know you, I'll be honest. If I'm DJing, I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm DJing.
Yeah,
like, I think I'm not people having just, a conversation. Like,
people just think that we, you know, go there just to press buttons, and they think we can just talk in it. But honestly, right, the good DJs anyway, we can't really hold a conversation that long and have a conversation in chirps or do whatever. Ain't happening. Yeah. No. It ain't happening. Like. I don't know where anyone's got this from, but if you actually come into most of our DJ booths, right, we are focused. I've on our laptop, looking at the crowd. If someone comes up, 9 times out of 10, we'll be like, go away, man. Go away. I don't need this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, literally. I mean, it is that, isn't it? Someone's come up to try and chat and like, oh, I'm kind of busy right now. I'm in my zone focusing. So yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been times in the past. But majority, it's just like, nah, focus mode, man. Like, I'm DJing. Yeah. So yeah, no, condoms are not in my DJ bag. I'm not gonna lie. But for some, I get it though. For some, maybe, yeah. Some DJs are on that vibe, so maybe that isn't essential. Someone's put, so Mr. Nev has put great crate / folder management system.
So decent music library.
Yeah, organized music library. I would agree with that actually. Like, even though it's not a physical thing to bring with you, I would say organizing your music is essential.
Yep, scream this every single day.
Yeah.
on my channels and every single thing. Organizing your music library will make your club experience or clubbing or your DJing experience just 10 times better.
Yeah.
If you go there and don't have to think, because a lot of DJs think too much when they're DJing. Oh, where's this song? Oh, where's this crate? Where's this? Where's that? If you have it organized and you know where everything is, you're going to be more relaxed. Like,
it can be a gift and a curse, because having it too organized, you can get a little bit too comfortable and a little bit habitual. One song goes to the next. You know that transition works. And then next thing you know it, you're just following a set path of songs that you always play in that order. And I think that is a trap that DJs fall down. So what I quite like to do in terms of, I will throw a couple of random songs into like my organized crates that won't fit what that crate is for.
Mm.
They're just curveballs. And it's like a quick slap in the face when I'm looking through the crate. Like, just trying to think of an example. In my main set, here's an example. In my main set hip hop folder, I will have, I think, just for example, I think Lean Back is in there.
Yeah.
That's not a main set hip hop track now. It hasn't been for about 20 years.
But it still has main set energy though, innit?
It fits in the main set. Mm. But when I'm looking through and I'm seeing a Drake, or I'm seeing a J. Cole, or I'm seeing a Kendrick, or I'm seeing a Playboy, or I'm seeing, do you know what I mean? Like all of these, like all of these little bits in there, and then Lean Back's there. It's like a quick boom. Don't forget, you can go old school here. Or don't forget, you can change direction. And like, that's just one example. I have other songs in there as well. Mm. I'll have like a dancehall record in there, for example. And it reminds me, like, bang, don't get tunnel vision down this so far that anyone waiting for dancehall or anyone waiting for old school hip hop or anyone waiting for anything else has to wait too long.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, it's just how you, it's like everyone's different. Everyone's different kind of thing. And it, like, for me, I'll do the similar thing. So I'll have an overall main set folder.
Yeah.
And then inside there will be main set dancehall, main set hip hop, whatever. So then if I feel like I'm going down that pigeonhole, I'll go to the overall main set folder where all the tracks are in there.
Okay, yeah.
And then you can decide, like, you'll go there, find the track that you're playing, say, for example, Lean Back. Mm-hmm. You'll get to Lean Back and you'll see what's there. It might be Telebands might be next to it. You might go in that direction, or you might want to go, do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Do you know what it is? Yeah, it's just all down to bloody how you are as a DJ and how, like, your face, like for you, you probably thought, oh, I'm playing the same songs every week, so I'm going to put this song into this crate. That's your way of doing it, innit? Mm. And then, like, everyone just has their different ways, but you need to experience it and be like, do you know what? It'll be better if I did this. Go home, prepare your crates, try again the week after, and hopefully your set will be a lot better in it. It's all down to prepping it.
But it's interesting as well, because it's interesting that you said go home and prepare your crates. One thing I don't think we talk about very often, or actually at all, is doing crate preparation live there and then when you're in the club. There's so many times where I've built a certain crate from home, got to the club, and I thought, what the fuck was I thinking? That's not going to work here.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not working in any club. And then I don't take it out the crate because I know at some point I thought it will work. And 3 years later, it's still sat in the crate and it still hasn't ever been played in a club because it won't work. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes if you have time, a little bit of crate preparation in the club. Or if you see one while you're in the club, you see a song in the crate and you're like, I haven't played this in 3 years. This will never work in the crate. I'm probably never going to. Just take it out. Just delete it from the crate.
Yeah.
And like another, that in itself is crate preparation, huh?
Yeah. Another thing you can do. So you're saying like, oh, you prepped a crate at home and you know it wouldn't work in a club. Get the history of your set. So 9 times out of 10, most of us play in sections in it. So you'll play main set, then you'll do like main set hip hop for a little bit, main set UK or whatever. Like 9 times out of 10, you'll play probably play like 5 hip hop tracks and then maybe go to UK or whatever. Take the history and then split up the crates into sections. So grab the track that you play for main set hip hop and then move it into a crate called main set hip hop. Look at it and be like, you know what? I could probably slide in another Drake tune in my main set folder. Put it in. So in the week after, you can do that same section again, but use the new tracks that you added in. That way, you're kind of like in the club, but doing it at home. That makes sense.
That's obviously a great idea.
Those 5 tracks worked in the club, but you might have just been in on autopilot and you know them 5 tracks work. But if you chuck in, I don't know, a Meek Mill track that you think might work, you'll see it. You'll see it in your crate and you'll be like, yo, I'm going to try that this week. Then it might go off. Do you know what I mean? So... preparing crates at home is sometimes it won't work because like you said, these will never work. But if you take what you did in the club and then take that home and kind of like analyze it and then try and make it a bit better, that could probably work for you, innit?
That's actually a great way to think about it.
Yeah, there's so many times, yeah, I've gone, I'm literally currently doing it now. Like when I DJed on Brighton on Friday, I didn't have the best set. But it's because my brain was just on autopilot. I haven't done any prep practice before that set because obviously last time I DJed was New Year's. So my brain is still in 2023. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So when I jumped into main set, I was like, I'm playing the same songs as last year, man. So now I'm actually going through my crates and updating them and kind of making small sets that I'm going to take into next month when I play. Because I feel like at the moment when I'm doing warm-up, right, I'm always playing like an old school warm-up. But you can obviously do a new school warm-up with all like your Doja Cats and for the ladies anyway.
Yeah.
But I always go down the No Scrubs and Family Affair route. Always do it because I'm just on the autopilot. But now I've created a 2016 plus warm-up because that's what I want to try and do for my warm-up next time.
Yeah, I think definitely like, yeah, evolving warm-up crates is almost as essential as evolving the main set crates. And the other thing is as well, you actually get to, you can retire certain songs from the main set into the warm-up.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing as well.
And you know that they're big tunes, so you know it's going to work. But actually, you know what? This isn't a main set song anymore. There's more that's replaced it. So I can push that into the warm-up. And actually, it keeps the night even fresher because what you might have played last week in the main set, now you're playing it at like, midnight-ish instead. And it's getting things up quicker. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, good shout, Mr. Nev. Great crate/folder management system. Masterclass UK and DJ Jordan A, not Jordana, like I said last week. Sorry, dude. Sorry, bro. Jordan A and Masterclass UK both said earplugs or ear protection.
Oh, do you know what? We could speak about this all day. Oh.
I actually... For anyone that's listened to the back catalogue of podcasts, I did a whole episode by myself once just talking about ear protection. I think I can't remember what happened. Stylus wasn't able to record at the time. And but I was just like, well, we need an episode out. So I did the entire episode by myself. I think it's only about 25, 30 minutes long. But I did the whole thing by myself about ear protection. Getting your ears tested, what protection's available, why we should be using it, etc. I'm the biggest hypocrite when it comes to ear protection.
Because you don't wear it.
Because I don't wear it when I'm DJing.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I do, occasionally. I needed it on New Year's Eve. I came on after Andy C. And holy shit. The guy, he's obviously been DJing for years and years and years. I think he must have had some in as well.
Yeah.
But on top of that, he probably has some hearing damage.
Mm.
Bro, the booth speakers were unbearably loud.
Yeah, man.
Like, I can't even describe how loud they were for booth speakers. So I put my ear protection in while I was setting up, because I had to set up while he was finishing his set. And yeah, they saved the day.
Yeah,
but I would not have been able to stand there as a human being, like, and set up if I didn't have my ear, my earplugs with me.
Yeah, some DJs, like, they have it up so, like, because they've got ear protection in, they have it up super loud,
even louder. So yeah. But the good thing is, so the good thing about the the good thing about the ear protection that I have, and they're quite popular ones. They're ACS.
Yeah.
Custom, so they're molded to my ears, but they have filters in. Mm-hmm. And what the filters do, they cut out the highest and lowest frequencies of the music. So they cut out all the damaging frequencies. Mm-hmm. So you still get volume, and you can hear, it's not like having one of the foam ones in your ear where it's muffled. You still hear everything crystal clear.
Mm.
It just regulates the frequency, so it's not damaging your ears. And they are incredible. For anyone that doesn't have them, get your ass to Boots. Yeah. They do the custom molds and send it off. I also do think, what's the place that they have an initiative where you can actually get them cheaper? Is it the Musicians Union or something like that?
Yeah, in the Musicians Summit there. Like if you go there and you say that you've come from a DJ or something, you'll get them cheaper or something like that.
Yeah, there's discounts you can get. I think it's through the Musicians Union. If anyone's listening and you know what I'm talking about and I'm wrong, please correct me in the comments on Instagram, or send us a message or something, like, let us know and we can correct it. But there's a place you can basically get cheaper hearing protection. My ones were about £160 for the pair. And in all honesty, paying £80 per ear to not go deaf quicker than I'm already going deaf, it was definitely worth it. But like I say, I'm a bit of a hypocrite when it comes to this, because I don't wear them all the time. I wear in-ears when I'm DJing. So when the music's not playing through the in-ears, I do think they serve as a form of protection, because it's like having fingers in your ears. But the problem I have with the in-ears is I've always been concerned about, am I now just blasting the music directly into my eardrum?
Yeah, but you don't have it that loud, innit? This is the thing. Like,
sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. But yeah, ear protection, earplugs, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, I lost my molded. I think I lost the right one at some club. I don't know what it was. So I need to get some new ones.
Yeah, don't sleep on it, bro. Just get it done. And the good thing is they keep your ear molds, I think, for 3 years.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So you don't have to get it remolded. As long as you just go back to the place you got it from, they have your ear mold on record. So with mine, I actually lost a pair when I was moving house, and then I went back to Boots and said I've lost a pair, and they were like, okay, cool, boom. They checked, they still had the mold on record. So they just charged me, I think it was like £120, because they didn't have to do the molds, and they just sent me a new pair.
Yeah, I might have to do it, because because you know what it is now, I don't DJ that much now, but when I do go, fuck me, the music is so loud. I come home, my ears are ringing.
It's just
a joke. They just hurt. Because obviously before, I was so used to it. So when I went to the club and the music was loud, they were hurting, but I was kind of used to it. Now, they hurt even more.
Yeah, because you're not constantly exposed. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, the constant exposure versus the one-off. But the other thing about having ear defenders, or earplugs, is when you go to a club as a customer, now you're on the receiving end of the music. That's when I definitely have them with me. If I'm going out for a night out, I always have my earplugs in.
Yeah, see me, I don't. Like, I go to like as a DJ, going as to go DJ, I go to chill at their event, maybe I'll wear them. Customer going out drinking, bro, give me that loud music in my soul, man.
I still like the loud music, but it just means it's just not battering my ears. I have tinnitus anyway, or tinnitus, some people call it. Like that high pitch ringing in your ears, I have it constantly, all the time anyway.
Yeah, same.
But it's worse if my ears have been battered. So that's why, if I'm going out, if I'm going to the club, I'm wearing them. If I'm going as a customer. DJ Indy, shouts to DJ Indy. He said, my headphones, wave watching isn't for me. It's like staring into the matrix. You know what? I hear that. But at the same time, I think these days it's not essential.
Yeah, it's not a DJ essential these days because
I would hate to turn up and forget my headphones.
I personally think I'll be bored. I think I have the most fun listening to the next track in my ears. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's where I have all my fun. Like, if I can't hear the next song coming in, I'd get bored. If I'm just staring at the waveforms, just going left to right. I think it's left to right? Yeah, left to right. It's just, it just bores me.
Right to left.
Yeah. Like, I'm just, I personally think headphones are a necessity if you want to enjoy yourself. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but then there's a lot of DJs that have a whale of a time. Whale of a time. There's a lot of DJs that have an amazing time and don't use headphones and they still enjoy themselves. Like, I don't think it's a necessity. I do think not having headphones as a DJ, it means you risk staring at the laptop screen all night instead of gauging the crowd.
I mean,
that's where I think like there's DJs that don't use headphones that could do a DJ set almost as well as me. They might be the second best DJ on the planet but I think the risk that they run is watching the waveforms and not watching the crowd. So 9 times out of 10 I have my waveforms off and my screen is just my library basically, and that's because I realized one day I was just watching the waveforms and I wasn't even mixing with my ears anymore. So I switch them off. Turn them on for certain tricks if I need just like that visual cue as well. But for the most part, I have them off. So mixing without headphones and without waveforms is quite difficult. It's not impossible, but it is quite difficult. But I think I enjoy it more. I enjoy queuing the songs up. And I think if I turned up somewhere and I'd forgotten my headphones, I'd be pissed, but it wouldn't ruin the night. Like, I could still DJ. It's happened plenty of times, to be fair. It has actually happened.
I might start turning off the waveforms and just having my library. Obviously, if you've got your library a lot bigger as well, you can kind of see what direction you want to go in as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives you a wider field of view on the library, but also the moving waveforms are hypnotic, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so easy to just watch them. And I see I'll see certain DJs that they'll be on TikTok doing mixes. They're not looking at the camera. They're not looking about. They are looking at their laptop because what they're doing is watching the waveforms to make sure the lines line up.
I mean, looking at the camera sometimes is a little bit cringe to me. But...
Well, maybe. But you know what I mean? Like, I think it's also that I'm talking about in terms of habit. Those same DJs are then going to events and they're just watching their laptop. They're not watching the crowd.
Yeah.
Taking the visual cue away and putting it back into your ears means your eyes are looking at the crowd. You're gauging what people are singing to, what they're reacting to, how the mood in the crowd is. And I think, I don't know, in terms of preference anyway, that's my preferred way.
Yeah, I hear it.
DJ Tars, this is an underrated one, you know. Deodorant.
Do you know what? Yeah, facts. There's
real
a
talk.
But you know what? The deodorant probably is needed for the customers. Like, just have one in your bag just to spray. Because there are some people, I don't understand how you can leave your yard and come to a club smelling like that, like smelling bad. Like me, whenever I leave my yard, showered, nice and fresh, whatever. Clean. But I don't understand how people cannot wash, bro. Or like, if you do wash, how is your body odor still like that?
I'm not condoning it, but I feel like there's some people that they might leave the house in the afternoon or the evening to go for food or whatever. And then maybe they go to a bar and have a bit of a dance at the bar, sweat a little bit, stop sweating because they're in the queue for the club now. And now they're in the club where it's hot, humid, and they're dancing and they're sweating again. You know, when you've sweated once and then you sweat again, it kicks off the stink even worse. I think that's like I say, I'm not condoning it, but I think that is possibly like a scenario. But yeah. How people are so unaware of their own personal hygiene is beyond
me. No, but like you say this, yeah. But like, you know, when you get used to a smell, you don't smell it no more, innit? So if you stink, you don't
you
smell
just
it.
don't realize that you
You
stink.
don't realize, because that's just the natural smell that you smell, innit? So like,
Yeah. I think,
because
yeah,
like,
deodorant is a good shout. I'll be honest, bro. I'll throw my hands up. I've definitely been that stinky guy one time before, or maybe probably more than one time.
Yeah, but the thing is, yeah, there's being a stinky guy and not knowing it, and there's being a stinky guy and knowing it. Like, come on. Like, there's been times, yeah, maybe I've gone to a club and you smell it on yourself. You're like, but you're cautious about who you may stand next to or whatever. Or you might not stay in the club for too long. Like, you might have to go to a club to go support a DJ. You might go for food and you might start, I don't know, forming up a sweat, but you need to go to this event. But when you go to this event, you're a bit cautious. You're not standing around with people, you're not putting your hands up in the air. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're a bit more cautious, but you know. So you kind of avoid other people. You're not gonna be standing up close up next to people in the DJ booth. You're gonna be outside the DJ booth, like, I'm good, man. Just sip your drink like this.
Yeah. The instances where I know I've definitely done it is if I've had to do a show somewhere. Mm. And then had to go and do another show after that with no possibility for just dropping back at the hotel to wash real quick in between. Yeah. So like I've done instances like we've done a big stage show somewhere. I like with RD's performances, for example, they're very, very energetic.
Mm.
Like I sweat because we are moving about a lot.
Yeah.
And then I always pack a clean set of clothes for like whatever eventuality. There is always deodorant, but then if we go to a next club, I've already sweated out, I've changed my clothes now, but I haven't had the chance to actually wash between the two. Literally haven't had the chance. I've got fresh clothes on, but boom, now I'm sweating again, and now it's just, but without deodorant on me, killer. For anyone that's in my vicinity, that must, like, that would be a bad long day for them.
I need to start packing one of those small, you know, like the travel ones.
Well, that's exactly what I have in my bag, actually. It's literally the little blue Shure one.
It's like
this size, it's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, because you can take it if you travel a lot as well, go through airports and whatnot. It's just in your hand luggage.
Yeah, it's a little spray and you're off in it.
So, shouts to DJ Tars. That's one actually, like, yeah, I do have. But it's not something that straight away I'd be like, yeah, this is an essential thing. That is an essential thing, deodorant in the bag. Nice, I like it. Dawkins, shouts to Dawkins. He says Dex.
My guy. Dex. Now,
everybody knows I love carrying the Dex. I like taking the 1210s. There's even some clubs that have 1210s there for me. But like, I don't think it's essential. Because I don't take them to every single gig.
Yeah, nah. You don't need to take that, because 9 times out of 10 they'll be there anyway, innit? Like even if they're battered, they're still gonna be there, innit?
Yeah.
Decks. If we're talking decks, like 2 CDJs and a mixer, like 9 times out of 10 they're gonna be there. Like a controller probably is more of a necessity than decks.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think if you're a controller DJ, but even like. Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, it comes down to preference because, like I said at the start, I wouldn't put a controller in my list of essential things.
Yeah.
But that's because I try to avoid using them. I'm not a fan. So I try to avoid using them. I don't know why I'm not a fan. It seems so anti, but... I don't know. I don't think Dex... It would be nice. But, I mean, again, like, I use 1210s when I can. Bro, do you know how heavy that shit is?
Yeah, that's you, man. I can't. Well, to be honest, I used to carry 2 CDJs and a mixer to my residency every week. They're not as heavy, probably not as heavy as 1210s, but
yeah,
I took them.
1210s are like washing machines. They have like a huge unnecessary concrete block inside. I'm sure. Jason P. He said patience. We covered that already, but shouts to Jason P. Mikey Snooze says a passion for music.
Again, that's not a necessity. Like, if you just want to be a DJ and mix music, because there'll be a DJ.
Yeah. I think that is the difference between a DJ and a great DJ.
Yeah.
I think you can't be a great DJ without a passion for the music that you're playing. Mm-hmm. I think you're just, you can be a standard DJ. You can just be a DJ. You can be an Instagram DJ. You can be a TikTok DJ. You can be whatever DJ you want, but you can't be a great DJ without a passion for music, because all of the best DJs, all of my favorite DJs that I can think of, bro, they live this shit. Like, they love music. Do you know what I mean? Like, absolutely love it. And when I think about substandard DJs, I think, actually, yeah, you know what? I don't think you love music. This. I don't think you've really got like a passion for it.
Yeah, you can really tell, innit? You can really tell, because obviously the DJs that don't have the passion for that music they're playing, they're standing there bored.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. Some of the younger, the crowds that I play to, some of the stuff that I have to play, I am wanting to rip my hair out. Like, because it's just, but if I'm playing an old school R&B event, best believe I'm there enjoying having the time of my life.
Yeah, because
I love that music. But if I've got to play, like, don't get me wrong, I don't mind house, drum and bass, but if I've got to play that, I'm not having the best time. Do you know what I mean?
But, so yeah, it's interesting though, because you said the music that you have to play. Like, that's why I set myself the rule of not playing music I don't like.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't feel like I have to play any type of music. Like, not even in an arrogant way, but no one can tell me, like, oh, you have to play this song, or you have to play that tonight, or you have to play this genre. When I do the open format nights, like mostly student parties and stuff, like, if I'm playing house, if I'm playing drum and bass, it's house and drum and bass that I like.
You like,
I'm not picking the house music that I don't like to play. So even in those genres, like, I have a passion for the certain songs that I've chosen. Does that make sense?
I think
passion for music. That's a great one. Obviously, you can't pack it in your bag, but I think that is because the question was, name one thing every DJ must have. People have interpreted it different, innit? So yeah, Mikey Snooze, passion for music. That's a great one. Rajaholic says spare cables, which we've covered. DJ Harney said working CDJs and a mixer helps, which we've kind of covered. But I wouldn't say, like, that's not the responsibility of the DJ to take, unless that's been agreed beforehand. But yeah, if you get there and the CDJs or the mixer doesn't work, stick it on the venue, man. Don't start playing in a busted up mixer and CDJs. Just tell them you can't play until they fix it. And trust me, they fix it pretty fucking quick. Sunstar DJ said music.
Same thing as the... Well, I mean, you can't DJ about music in it, so...
I wouldn't have mentioned that either, but it seems like such an obvious one because it is. But yeah, it's like, no matter what form you DJ on, you absolutely must have music. If you're a vinyl DJ, you've got to have enough vinyl for the night. If you're using USBs, you've got to have enough MP3s for your set. Like, so however you collect it, however you arrange it, you've got to take your music. I'm trying to think. I actually put my DJ bag next to me today so I can look through. I would say if you're a laptop DJ, Serato DJ, a laptop stand is essential.
Backs, and a decent one as well, because I know half the DJs listening to this have the screw one. When you first start DJing,
the
one.
hold on. I have that here. Hold on one sec. It's like a piece of scaffolding.
Oh, do you know what? They were the bane of my life when I first started.
Is it this one?
Yeah, bro. Oh my days. Do you know what? The amount of times I'd do it wrong as well. Like,
yeah, it's like Meccano. Do you remember Meccano?
Yeah.
It's like a Meccano laptop. However, it's solid.
It's solid, but it's headache.
I say it's solid. Actually, no, that is bendy.
But all you need is the foldy one. I don't even know where mine is, to be fair.
I have, no lie, this is probably over 10 years old. This is my one here.
It is
a Stanton Uber stand. And give it a close up to the camera. Can you see how old
and
battered this?
I can hear how bad it is. Like this is what is this? A ply one from Amazon. This is
way better design. This, yeah. Well, the stand and the Uber stand's an interesting one because in the bottom, which I'll show to the camera here, there's these little holes, these little bits here, which it's for a cable tie.
Oh, okay.
Put a cable tie through here, looping like that, and it locks it in place so that bit doesn't fall back with your laptop on top.
Yeah.
And they actually came with a reusable cable tie. So one that you can unlock and undo. That broke years ago, so I just have a pack of cable ties with me. Ah, so there you go. That's another essential, a pack of cable ties. But that is essential for me just because I use a laptop stand that's 850 years old. However, it does the job, and it's not broken. So it's not the most up-to-date design, which, like this one, for example, isn't
up-to-date. That is tiny, man.
This is tiny. This is for my DDJ. Was it DG?
Oh, SP1. Yeah, I got one.
My SP1 sat on there. It locks in with the little buttons here. And this is a great design because you don't have to burn through cable ties. And then it just folds up. But this is a compact one because, my SP1 sits on this. This goes under the mixer so that the SP1 hovers above the mixer.
And then
my laptop stand is always above the left-hand deck. But so stands, if you're using SP1s or if you're using laptops or whatever. SP1 is in the case as well. Another thing, if you use turntables, phase. Or needles, if you're old school like that. I don't like needles because I'm too heavy-handed, but I have the phase. And they're in this protection case as well, which I'd recommend. Because if you don't keep them in a protection case, something like this happens.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear that?
Mm.
Rattling around inside the phase. Something's broken in there. And it's because I think it's probably because I didn't have them in a protecting case the whole time. Just trying to think what else I have in this bag. Oh, you know what? For the DJs that want to do their own content, like we've discussed, having some form of camera and tripod and stand.
Yeah.
I know this looks like it's not a tripod. It looks like could be.
They're sick, man. They can hold on to any, like they can, you could put them on anything in it.
This is a GorillaPod.
Yeah.
And it's literally, so I would recommend this one, because not only can it extend out and be like a tripod, so it sits like that. It has the screw on the top. So what I do is I will screw the stand. So the camera, what's this called? I hate the word selfie stick, but it's a selfie stick. Screws into the tripod like that. And then this then extends up however I want it. But the amazing thing about this, and I guess the audio guys are probably losing out in a moment because actually I'm showing this all to the camera. But the amazing thing about the GorillaPod is where these legs are also adjustable. You can actually, if you're DJing where there's like a little lighting rig above the DJ box, you could turn this tripod into a claw and then it just hooks round the pole that's above the DJ box. And then your camera hangs down. So now you've got a camera hanging down instead of sat next to you. And you can actually utilize different camera angles and stuff with this. So
How big's your bag?
My bag actually is, I would say, normal laptop bag size. I nearly dropped it. Normal backpack size.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like the size of a school bag. And bro, this is a sick little bag. It's got loads of pockets for all the wires. It's got three different sections. So I've got my laptop and the laptop stands in one. Then the middle bit, which is quite a big section, holds the SP1 and my phase and the wires. And then the front bit is where I put my headphones, which has my USBs in, any extra wires and stuff, and my little camera, which is a Insta 360 camera.
Standard, yeah.
And it all fits in. It's all nice.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I think a necessity is a camera equipment. Like, if you want to get content, step up an Insta 360, like your, I've got a GoPro 360, or actually I need to get that. My mate actually, and then or get a normal GoPro in it, anything just to capture some sort of content in it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think like Possibly, I mean, I don't have it, but possibly, depending on what camera you're going to use, you might then need to get some sort of lighting for it. But
Bit hard taking that
there
to a
are
club, isn't
quite
it?
simple lighting solutions. But also at the same time, it's like, okay, where are you going to draw the line? I think lighting probably isn't essential. But I do think these days, like an action camera is essential. If you're not bringing a videographer with you, I do think we've got to be putting content out, man. So an action cam, an Insta. I'm falling out on my Insta360 at the moment. We're not friends
Why?
because it records for like 10 seconds and then tells me the SD card's not up to speed. So I need to reformat it and test it again and all of that crap. But yeah, we're not friends at the moment. But yeah, GoPro 360, a GoPro, something like that, something small, compact that fits in your bag. I think it's essential, man.
Yeah,
Or
facts.
even like, if not that, just a little stand for your phone.
Yeah, just anything to get something in it, some sort of content. And
Yeah,
then,
100%.
yeah.
Have we covered all of the essentials? I think we have.
I think so.
Oh, a microphone.
Is that essential?
For me, yes. And there's two reasons. I love talking on the mic during my sets. I host a lot. I am also a germaphobe. So if there's a mic at the venue and someone else has used it, I don't want to use it.
Yeah, my best spitting and just
Yeah,
lick it, licking the mic, man.
I feel weird. And it's also one thing it is weird is if I am DJing and using my mic and someone's on next, if they've got a host or the DJ wants to use a mic, I take my mic away.
Yeah,
Because
I don't
it's
blame
like,
you. I do not blame you, mate.
yeah, I feel it, I don't know, it's a bit weird. This is also like a pre-COVID thing. I've always been this way. But yeah, I don't like the fact that there's germs on the mic, so I'm not sharing my
Mate,
mic. So for
mate.
me, yes, a mic is essential. For many other DJs, possibly not. But I take mine because I do use a mic, and if the venue doesn't have one, then it's just a bit long. I mean, I get a lot more engagement and a lot more. I feel like I can build a better atmosphere when I can speak with the crowd.
Yeah, 'cause you feel more connected in it. When you don't talk to them and stuff like that, you feel so separated and you just feel like you're just on the on your own in the DJ booth in it.
Yeah,
So
absolutely. But yeah, apart from that, I think that is everything.
that's covered, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think anything else. Like, I wonder what things DJs take that are not essential, but they need it for themselves. Like, I used to always take this Rubik's Cube with me. Always used to
What?
take it. I used to always take a Rubik's Cube with me, and because like I used to suffer quite bad anxiety, so like doing a Rubik's Cube just calmed me down a little bit. So I used to take it all the time. Now I'm
Yeah.
fine, but yeah, like a Rubik's Cube. Like
Can
people might take.
you do a Rubik's Cube with your eyes closed?
No,
Oh.
I can't do it with my eyes closed.
Because
I
you
can
know
do
there is
what.
a way, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a way, but I haven't figured out how to solve it like a speed cube. They like, you know that some people can do it within like 5 seconds. I haven't figured out. I know how to solve a Rubik's Cube. I can do it within about a minute and a half. But I can't. I haven't sat down and tried to figure out how to do a speed cube. I have other things I need to figure out with my life first.
No, I hear it. I hear it. I can't. I know there is a method, but I can't do a Rubik's Cube. I've never completed one. Logic,
Maybe.
the rapper, he did a freestyle while solving a Rubik's Cube,
Was it?
like an off-the-top freestyle,
Fucking hell,
and
yeah.
did a Rubik, and it's sick as well. And did a
Yeah.
Rubik's Cube at the same time.
Yeah, I can do a Rubik's Cube doing other things, don't get me wrong, but speed cubing it, like doing it in like 5 seconds, I haven't figured out yet. There's a way, and obviously I've seen loads of people do but yeah, like some DJs must might just need something, like the guy with a vape in it. I know that's addiction or whatever, but like some people might need something to calm them down, or
His strawberry crack pipe.
yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good question, actually. I wonder, like, if there's anything you lot think we've missed out, let us know. Or if you've got anything random that you're like, yeah, I'd always take this to my set. Like a Rubik's Cube. That no one's topping that, I'm not gonna lie.
Sick, mate. Love my
Random.
Rubik's Cube. Nah, it's good,
Random.
mate. Good. Good
Yeah, sick. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening. This was our list of essential things. Let us know if there's anything we've missed off the list. Shout us, hit up the comments, all of that. Let us know what you think. And we're gonna be back again next week with another episode of the greatest podcast in Finland. So yeah, DJ Double, DJ CB, Talk on the podcast. Thank you very much, guys. Until next week, see ya.
Peace.